Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week's episode, before Christmas, Nick and I have a special guest on, bringing a bottle of CBS to talk about his adventures heading up to Founders, to the release event, release weekend, and then we dive into, well, none of the events that are coming up this week because it's Christmas, and then we'll close it out with some beer news. So.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick White.
And we got a special guest this week.
We do, man.
We got Steve Wyatt joining us, a good friend of mine, been on multiple beer podcast episodes of Hopcast many times.
Oh, right on.
So it's good to have you here, Steve.
Thank you. I apologize that those episodes of Hopcast are some of the lowest rated in history.
Well, this will be the highest rated Chicago Beer Pass now. So Steve went to the CBS release. I know I mentioned it, I don't know, a couple episodes ago that we were trying to have someone on to tell us their adventures and their story of going up there because we didn't go.
That's true. Yeah. So Steve, was this your first time at Founders or in Grand Rapids?
Yes, on both counts. Okay. I've never been to, which was part of the reason that we wanted to take the trip. I went with a good friend of mine named Chad, and the two of us, we'd had CBS the last time it had been released, which I think it's got to be 3 or 4 years ago, that the last time that Founders did CBS,
Is it every 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I know in bottles it was 2011, but okay. They did come out and draft in like 14 or so.
Okay. Yeah, 14 was when it was just in kegs, and everybody we talked to said that they specifically wanted to prevent pirating of CBS. Employees would get their own bottles and then they would just turn around and sell them for several hundred dollars, and the people at Founders said, well, this isn't what we wanted with this. Okay,
this
we're just
going to
serve in kegs from now on. But it was my first time on both counts, and I know that Western Michigan has a pretty rich history of craft beer, and in addition to Founders, you've got, I'm going to miss a whole bunch here, but Bell's and New Holland are the two that
And Jolly Pumpkin, and that's kind of like a staple.
Yeah, and more recently, Shorts. I guess, what's the crew that's in the funeral home up there, the Belgian crew? You know what I'm talking about? Brie Vivant.
Oh, their name always that's right. Okay.
But that's a Grand Rapids.
Good beer,
The Mitten. I like the Mitten up there.
Yeah.
Those are new, though. The old standbys are the ones we're talking about.
I think, weren't we talking about it last week on that top 10 list?
Yeah, because we were kind of saying, well, nobody in Michigan is doing anything.
It was like Michigan was above Illinois in beer, I guess, releases or beer.
I think,
was the title of that?
Yeah, the Thrill List, it was states ranked by their beer.
Right, so Michigan beat Illinois, and I said Chicago could still beat Michigan by itself. we just got to get rid of the rest of Illinois.
So cold, man. It's a cold world, man.
All right, so as you're talking about that, we do have the beer here to drink, so we should be sipping on this as we're talking about these stories and stuff.
Because I've been up to, I went to Darkness Day once up in Minnesota. But part of the draw, even though, because like CBS has a limited release, you can get it here. But part of the draw, I guess, is like going up there, especially if you haven't been. So, now this was CBS Day. It was a full-on like festival. Like, what was the scene up there?
Founders, I think, did right by their customers and their fans by not creating an environment that would result in he who gets in line first gets the beer. Right. You bought a ticket that allowed you to go there and pick up the beer anytime in a certain weekend. The only limitation was that it happened on a weekend. So I'm enough of a fan of Bourbon County that I'm almost always awake and in line at 5 in the morning just to get, just on the off chance that I might get a couple variants. And my hometown is Rockford, so we never even have the opportunity to get prop. And Rockford, I think, gets shafted on the variants. Usually we're fighting over, you know, if you're not one of the first 12 or 24 people in line, you're probably not going to end up with a variant. So, So Founders issued tickets, and you could pick one up anytime throughout the weekend. So Chad and I made a day of it, and we drove up there on Friday, not just to check out Founders, but to explore some of the other
breweries.
Yeah, some of the other beer culture that Grand Rapids has to offer. And I think if I do have one regret about the trip, it's that we didn't maybe make it an overnight thing and spend more time in Grand Rapids, because Grand Rapids is one of the coolest medium-sized towns that I've ever been to.
So you guys left in the morning and drove back that night.
Yeah.
So that does limit your drinking ability.
Yes.
Like, quite a bit.
Yes. I was the designated driver.
Okay.
And I took it easier than I would have preferred, but we hung out at the Founders Brewery, which for me was kind of like, okay, here's the pilgrimage. I finally get to go see the source, because I think if I had to rank my own breweries, Founders would be somewhere near the top of the list in terms of the ones that I enjoy the most.
It's a giant, you know. It's a giant, and it's they're the a vanguard brewery, I would say.
Vanguard Brewery, okay.
Yeah, like they were, you know, they were the. Well, we talked about this. I think this was, we talked about whales, and the first thing that comes to mind when I think about some of the oldest whales that I've been chasing were, you know, in the beginning it was KBS and CBS for me.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I've never, it's one of those spots where I do need to make it there someday. It's kind of just on that bucket list of breweries to hit up. Was it then, so you went up there, was it busy because this was the release? Like you could, it wasn't, there was a release weekend, so was it packed?
It was pretty busy, yeah.
Okay.
Some of that might just been, we got there, you know, 4 o'clock on a Friday. But we stopped, and I'm trying to recall the name of it, but we actually had lunch at a awesome brew pub down the street from Founders. We actually walked. It was downtown Grand Rapids.
Well, maybe Hopcat, maybe?
No, it was next to Hopcat. I remember we skipped Hopcat because Chicago has a Hopcat, and we said, well, let's do that one.
And the food sucks.
Yeah. I'm not nearly as critical of food as you are, Brad.
Is it the burger joint?
I'd probably think it was fantastic.
That's just pub food. It's pub food.
Yeah, pretty much. Tons of taps. The Chicago one has
The tap list. You go for the. You don't go to Hopcat for the food. You go for the taps.
There's only a handful of brews in the country that could take over that tap list, because they got like 110 taps. Ridiculous amount of taps.
Right. Yeah. I think I went for, was it a Firestone Walker or maybe Tap Takeover or Ballast Point, and they had a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't take it over still, but they had a lot.
40 of them were Sculpin.
Yeah.
Well, there's about 40 different variants of Sculpin. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There's a really cool burger joint walking distance from there that does like MTV. It's like an MTV 80s kind of theme. The name's escaping me. I shouldn't have brought it up. Sorry.
Man.
But yeah.
Okay. So then it wasn't packed or wasn't like a fest then. Was it missing that? Did you kind of regret that wasn't there?
When I say not packed, I mean I could spread my arms out and not hit 5 people. It was still, there was a pretty lively atmosphere at that place.
Okay.
I think in no small part because they were serving it at the brewery.
So if you didn't get a ticket, you could still...
You could still go in and sample some, exactly. And I think I realized we were in Michigan when we walked outside on a 40-degree day and saw a guy in a t-shirt sitting out there sipping CBS.
Yeah, there you go.
I said, here we are. We're officially in Michigan now.
Right. No. But this ticket thing, it kind of lacks that, I guess, fest thing that Dark Lord has, the bottle share, or even standing in line for Bourbon County.
I would say that's true,
Kind of, it maybe makes it its own thing, right? It's different.
Mm-hmm. It does make it easier to get the beer, but now that you mention it, you mentioned Dark Lord, and I can remember trying to go to Dark Lord for many years, finally getting a ticket, and we go, and this is back when it was still in April. It was before they'd moved it into May.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God they did that, by the way.
Yeah, seriously.
And it was 40 degrees and raining the whole time. And it took us a good 4 hours to navigate the line. And I remember being outside, sopping wet, my feet are soaked through, I've got an umbrella in my backpack just to stick up and keep the rain off. And I remember sitting there in something that would just be miserable for most human beings and going, I am having a fantastic time right now. This is wonderful.
That
this
sounds
is
like
great.
Booze talking.
Well, it most certainly was the booze talking, because as we're in this line, everybody else who raided their cellars and brought all their rare beers was passing stuff around. We did the same thing. We filled our backpacks with a bunch of stuff and, you know, a bunch of rare beers and just said, here, let's try this. Everybody's pouring a little sampling, which I think is what made it so enjoyable.
It's the best part. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the best part of Dark Lord Day.
Yeah. So you do raise a good point. I don't think I'd considered that when you give out a ticket and you can just walk up, there were maybe 5 people in line in front of us when we actually got the beer. But
yeah.
So you do miss that. You miss the the hysteria, the hype has its own entertainment value.
Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of beer fans, maybe missing there, like, hey, I know you from the internet. You're beer guy 36.
Sure, you got your little super small Twitter picture.
Yeah.
Seeing him in real life was like way more exciting. Was there? What was the cap? What was the cap or the limit? The allotment for CBS?
You could only buy two of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just two.
Okay.
But we did take advantage, and we tried to be fair and not completely raid the liquor stores, but we stopped at quite a few on the way back.
Yeah. And you found some?
We found a lot more. I think we ended up with, between the two of us, we had like 14 bottles on the way back.
So that's awesome.
Because I was going to say, like, if you only had two, I was with you when you opened another one, and now we've opened this one. So
I love you, Brad, but you wouldn't get the last one.
Man, 14, that's quite a bit, man. Was it like here in Chicago, it was like a $25 play.
Mm-hmm.
For the same thing?
Yeah, about that. Cool. Yeah, I think the tickets were 50. Okay. An allotment of two, yeah. So it was about the same price up there as it was. But we found liquor stores, and we asked what the limit was, and she said, "Well, there really isn't a limit." And we're looking behind the counter, and there's still a few cases back there. And our beer morality kicked in, and we said, "No, we shouldn't clean this one out. We'll take three or four, and then we'll go to the next one."
You guys,
Nick would have.
Hey, we're out of here. Back the car in. we're getting as much as we could take. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yeah, my uncle had a bottle that he shared. Was it Thanksgiving or Christmas? So, so it made it to a lot of places. It feels like there was a lot of it this year.
You could get one each at Mariano's. You can get three if you went to the Whole Foods the day it came out.
Mm-hmm.
What was the overall response to people enjoying it at the source? I know you're a fan of Founders if you're there at the brewery, but what were people thinking? What were people's first takes on this year's batch?
Everybody, we only talked to a few people, but at least I was pretty impressed with it. Yeah. I think. And I'd forgotten how they brew it, but I recalled after reading the labels and, you know, doing some internet research on it that it's aged in bourbon barrels that used to age maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And that combination of flavors, I thought, balanced each other perfectly. Neither one was overwhelming. And it wasn't too sweet. There was enough bourbon there to counteract that, which is always a something I think that I don't look too kindly on in beers. I tend to be a bitter fan rather than sweet fan, but the bourbon balanced out the maple syrup perfectly.
Yeah.
And Nick, you were saying, but you've heard or maybe you felt that it was lighter or thinner than
in some circles, I think. And we talk about, like, you know, the older breweries and how they make beers. Like, I think this beer is like you said, it's a well integrated. I hate the term well integrated. We make fun of it.
Here
I
am. It's very corporate sounding,
right? But but there's some truth in it, man. You know, everything you want, you can kind of taste it all at once. Mm-hmm. You know, it's everything's in step. Nothing's more than the other thing. And like these newer breweries, they don't necessarily do that. You know, mm-hmm. And they, you know, if they say, like, I was at the Vlad release, Vlad the Impaler, or, you know, and there was like Vlad Coconut this weekend, and you don't have to question what's in it at all. Yeah. Like, when you put your nose up to it, like, it's coming at you full fort with this one.
It's a punch you in the face beer.
You know? Yeah. And with this beer, they're, you know, they're chocolate, their syrup notes are in step with everything else in the beer. So it's just a different approach.
Yeah.
You know?
Delicious as it is, I don't think CBS is a punch you in the face beer. Yeah. It's something that you, as you're sipping it, you have to kind of sit there and contemplate before you really understand all the... all the different flavors that are working in that beer. It's not one where you just go, whoa, bourbon, okay.
Yeah.
Hops, wow.
And it is so, it's very tasty beer. Like, I'm not going to, I don't want to discredit here, but it's forgettable, right? Like, it's so good, it's forgettable at the same time. Like, you will probably, in your lifetime, have hundreds of bourbon, chocolatey, stout kind of beers. And there's no one key thing that's like, oh yeah, that CBS I had, because it's very well balanced. Like, that's it's almost a detriment to itself that it's they did such a good job, right?
I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like AC/DC, right? You know, I like Back in Black. Here I go with my tangent. But if, you know, if AC/DC album came out, you know, last year, yeah, it's still an AC/DC album, but is it doesn't have the impact that it would have had when, you know, The Razor's Edge.
Right.
Or Back in Black came out. It's just, even though they're still good.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember any of the CBS I've had in the past. That's also because of drinking. You just forget things.
Because I think you've sampled. How many beers are you up to on Untappd now? Yeah, you're well into like the 5,000s of individual beers. I mean, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I don't know if the human sense of taste and the human brain can accommodate that much. Brain's just like, okay, fine. We're gonna have to start deleting the old files here, Brad. We're sorry.
Start over. Yeah. But I do remember having CBS after the Racine Beer Fest, stopping at Uncle Mike's.
Right on.
On our way back, and they were having a CBS release for it. I think it was CBS. It might have been KBS. Now that I think, but either way, I remember like
some BS.
I think it was CBS because we were kind of like hyped that this was the one place that had it. It was on draft. We're like, oh my god, we got to get this. We're coming back from Beer Fest. Let's go get more beer.
I think they were saying the story was that like the government kind of made them change it because it said when it, in the beginning it said Canadian or Kentucky breakfast out.
Okay.
And they're like, well, it's not Canadian, so I mean, like, it's like it says on the bottle now, product of America, so they made them short. They made them to shorten it. First time I had
Canada's in America though, isn't it?
Well, North America. Yeah.
Yeah. But. tricky.
What was I gonna
say? I'll stop splitting hair.
First time I had it was at Haymarket. Okay. On tap. Mm. Like when Haymarket first opened. When it kicked in, like, you know, they had a 6-barrel. It was gone in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I had it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we still went, my friend and I, or Chad and I did, to Link's tap room. Shameless shout out, but we love that place.
No, we love Link's. Yeah. We recorded an episode there.
We had an episode there. Okay. Link's is fun.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic beer bar, and it's kind of become our spot. So, but they had a tapping of CBS, I think, a couple of days after that. I think it was on Sunday morning. Yeah. And even then, it's still, I got there right when they opened, but even then, the tickets were still sold out. I got one of probably the last tickets, but it was still, the hype was there.
Ticketed event for the bar?
Mm-hmm. Oh. It was just a ticketed event to get CBS. You could go and just hang out, but you had to buy a ticket as you walked in the door just to be able to redeem CBS when they actually tapped it.
Damn, okay. And then, so where does CBS rank in all their beers? Because there's KBS, CBS, and there's another one. Isn't there another version of CBS or no? Am I incorrect?
No, they do have what they call the Backstage Series, right?
Yeah.
And I know, well, this beer predates Backstage Series, but Backstage Series is like their bomber, you know, small batch format stuff, one off stuff.
Uh huh.
Is there another one? I can't think of one.
CBS and this and beer amateurs. Memory. It's CBS and KBS are the two that pop into my head instantly.
Yeah, I think a Doom, but that's an IPA.
Okay, I feel like there was a KBS stout. Or a CBS with vanilla or something like that, like cherry or like a variant that's, you know, super rare or anything. They didn't have anything like that at the tap room.
No variants this year. It was CBS and only CBS.
Okay.
How did the rest of that Tapless round out up there? Did anything else jump out at you when you were drinking on CBS day after?
I can't remember. I think just because...
You were driving, man.
Well, number one, there was that part, yes. I think I was so enamored with getting CBS that I did have another one up there. I'll have to check my Untappd feed. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But, it was huge. I mean, they had multiple chalkboards with little notes scribbled onto the sides, and it seemed like the chalkboards were made to hold 50 beers, and they had 100 of them on there. So, but they had a pretty solid offering of it, as I remember. And the whole place, the atmosphere was neat. It was crowded to give it atmosphere, but not, you know, okay, I'm at a rock concert in a mosh pit type of crowd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was up there for Founders Fest a couple years ago. That's like their summertime block party. It sits outside. That's the last time I've been up there. Have you been up there?
No, I've never been. So. Would you you'd recommend the trip?
Could say we're going to go to a brewery and not even tell me the name of it, and I'm probably going to be on board with that, so I don't know if I'm the right person to ask. I think my standards might be a bit too low. And it's funny, we almost turned around and scrapped the trip in its entirety, and I don't
even
know.
Even having the tickets, you've had already paid for the tickets, so.
The morning on the way up there, I don't know why we got this impression or what happened, but for some reason both Chad and I thought that this was the only place that you could get it. So as we're driving up there, a friend of mine who's another beer snob starts texting me pictures. He's like, "Oh, I went to this liquor store and I found two bottles of it."
Oh,
and then an hour later, "Hey, I went to another one and I found two." As we are now investing an entire day to go up to Grand Rapids to find this beer, I'm going, "Are you kidding me? How did I not realize this?"
Also, had you known it was Hidden Distro, you might not have.
We might have, yeah. And in retrospect, I'm still glad we made the trip, not for, you know, among many reasons, but at the top of the list being Grand Rapids is just a neat town to be in, even in the wintertime in Michigan, which is saying something.
Yeah, Nick and I were talking pre-show about friends that make these adventurous bottle releases.
Yeah.
And so... yeah, knowing that, like, I might be able to find this beer, or even I just want to try it. Like, I don't need a bottle. I just need to try it and be like, I had it in the moment. I'm good. Next thing, kind of move on. So, but the adventure, I think you get the story. You remember it more. It makes it more important. Like, I forget what. Oh, it was Big Hugs.
Okay.
I didn't go to this year's Big Hugs, but I had it on draft the couple days afterwards, and it was like, all right, I had this year's. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, just thinking about the telling the story, I don't remember having, like, I couldn't think of what that beer was. I don't remember it as much.
Big Hugs this year, too.
I know.
I'm like, because that's one of your moves. I'm like, Brad's going to get Big Hugs.
Yeah. I drank a boot of beer a couple nights before. So like, I was like, I don't want any more beer.
Oh, I remember that. You definitely sent Brauhaus out with a bang on that one.
Yeah. Oof, had to do it, man. You gotta go to Brauhaus for the last time. You gotta get a boot.
Yeah,
it would have been worth it. Well, it was worth it because it's a brewery and it's a cool town. But you know, those the maple barrels that they use are from that company Bliss, and Bliss sells that. They sell the source syrup.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they used to sell it at the whole at the Benny's on Roosevelt. They used to be the flagship, and then they wiped out this whole little. It had a cute little. Charcuterie, like a little charcuterie bar, and like
okay, you were pissed about that,
man. And they cleared it all out to sell fucking Heineken and Bud's products. And I'm like, this is the only place in the city that I could get the syrup that was in, you know, the CBS. You know, I was like, so frustrating. But yeah, but I would have gotten some of that.
Can you get the syrup still?
You
can,
that was one make, thing that I honestly, the
I mean,
syrup.
Yeah,
they make the syrup. Bliss makes the syrup.
Like, okay,
Bliss with one S. Yeah.
List with one.
Yeah, and sometimes it's in that gift shop up in Founders.
Okay, so I guess the important, or my last question before we move on, where would you guys rate this compared to Bourbon County? Here in Chicago, that's kind of like the staple stout, I guess, like barrel-aged stout. So would you, if you saw the two, which one would you go for? If you're just sitting back, drinking, that's watching TV, whatever.
Well, I'm going to contradict myself because talking about how great the balance is earlier, and yet I tend to be a person who's, I think, responds to extremes in flavor. I've said my palate is so horrible that you could grind up a, you know, hops in a blender, put it in a glass, serve it to me, and I would say, this is fantastic. Can I have some more, please?
Just put some fuzzy water over it. Yeah. Be like, here you go.
Yeah. So I think I enjoy the intensity of the bourbon flavor in Bourbon County Stout, which has got to be among the best, you know, bourbon barrel aged beers of all time, in my humble opinion. But I remember when I had CBS in 2014, it was my personal favorite for a long time until I had 2015 Rare, and then it was supplanted by that one. So I would still say this one might be a rung or two behind Bourbon County, but I try not to think in terms of, okay, here's a list and I'm going to rank things 1 through 10. I prefer to think of, here's what's on the 1 through 10 list, and then we can, the order is negotiable.
Sure, understandable.
Yeah, and something like... And
talk about me with the company talk. That's a good company move right there. I like that.
Yes, non-committal, hedging my bets, not offending anybody. But... if I'm going to rank 1 through 10, then this year's CBS, yeah, it's on the list somewhere.
Yeah. How about you, Nick? You're sitting here in a Black Friday shirt.
I mean, you know, those are my guys. You know, we have a good time over there. I always give Bourbon County a hard time because of the low drinkability. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's cloyingly sweet. Sometimes it's a little too syrupy on the finish. That's not really my thing. And to your point, I do like the volume turned up high on these types of beers.
Yeah.
I really like this beer. It's close for me. But I would give Bourbon County the slight edge only because, like, when we had a couple episodes ago, we had Bourbon County from maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you can pull out all these really fun flavors, you know, whether it's cherry or toffee or, you know, all these fun notes in Bourbon County. And there's nothing added to it. It's just a base beer and a barrel. Right. But in comparison to this, where, you know, there's like some syrup and some coffee, you know, and Bourbon County's such a magical creature that it's doing these things in your head and on your palate, and there's nothing extra added. So
yeah,
I give Bourbon County a slight edge.
I would go with that as well, because, like I said, it's for how good CBS is, it is, there's something forgettable about it. We're all kind of saying that same thing. Yeah. But it's such an amazing beer, and I think it just shows how good of a brewery Founders is.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had a beer from them that I'm like, I don't want that beer. There's a lot of breweries where I'm like, I talk about Rosa all the time. Like, yeah. Hate Rosa. Oh, yeah. So much.
The spring summer offering and from Rev.
But I haven't seen something like that from Founders where it's like, there's no Rosa that I know of. But if I see a Rosa in a cooler or someone's fridge, I'm like, I'm not drinking that Rev beer. No thanks. I will drink whatever else is in there.
Yeah, man. All Day IPA and Backwoods Bastard. Yeah, Double Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just got so many good songs. Was the Devil Dancer, the Triple IPA.
Yeah.
I love so many of their moves up at Founders, man.
Yeah. They have a lot of big, like, beer. Besides All Day, they have like a lot of like punch you in the face beers.
Yeah. And I think Founders is one of those breweries that you can look at if you encounter a Founders beer that you've never had before. I would look at it and think, I don't know what this is, but it's probably going to be good. I would look at it and think, I'm probably going to enjoy or at least appreciate that this is a well-brewed, well-crafted beer and not something that, not just, you know, a fly-by-night brewery type of beer.
Yeah.
It would be something good.
Right on.
Brad, I think that's the only time I've heard you speak ill of beer since the pizza beer.
Brad, we'll tell you quickly. Fuck this beer.
Yeah. I have very strong opinions about some beers. Depends on how many beers I've had and how loud I will be about them.
Which is why I only prefer to broach these conversations with you after we've had a few.
Well, so thanks, Steve, for bringing this beer.
Yeah, this was cool, man.
I thank you guys for having me on the show. So I hope I don't drag the ratings down too much, but I am very honored to come here and be your guest today. So thank you very much for that.
I love the perspective of the third person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to mix it up.
Yeah. But Nick, you were mentioning the Brickstone beer you made it to. We should, you know, our audience expects some recaps and some news, right?
What do we fucking do this week, man? I went down to beautiful Bourbonnais, Illinois, a summer home of Chicago Bears. It says that on the water tower. Mm-hmm. Do they actually have water? Every town, every suburb has a water tower.
Oh, yeah.
There's water in these things? Like, is that what's going on?
There probably still is. It's not necessary anymore, but...
Okay. It's more like an emblem, kind of like, hey, you're here.
Yeah.
All right. Brickstone had a party called Afterworld. It was a Afterworld's name of their barrel-aged barley wine, American barley wine, and it was a chili cook-off as well with the brewers. So it's really
a dangerous combination there.
Yeah,
pump people full of chili and get them drunk.
You
know, dear.
And this place, they got an interesting story because for 40 years they were a Greek family restaurant, you know, and then they turned on a dime and said, hey, let's just convert this whole place to a brewery. So their food's really good.
Okay.
You know, and then they got a really nice space to throw parties.
Oh, go
down there. Yeah. I got the Dark Secret Flight. That was my jam. Dark Secret is the barrel-aged stout. I mean, I love the Brickstone guys, and I like their beers. I'm not sure Afterworld needed its own party, but it was nice that they had flights that included all of the Dark Secret variants, which is a very, very good beer.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Secret Raspberries was my jam, and so was the Rye Barrel-Aged Dark Secret. Yeah, so there was that. Oh, and they gave us a chance to go to Hailstorm, which was also out there. That was the other place I went.
Wait, they're like, that's that close? Tinley Park's that close to?
Actually, it's about 30 miles apart. Yeah. But I mean, in order to get back to, you know, civilization.
I was like, wait, I haven't been to Brickstone yet. But I know I haven't been to Hailstorm either, but I know where Tinley Park is. Yeah, and so I'm like, it's right there?
Yeah.
No, it's double that.
I'm asking guys, I'm like, well, what's the closest brewery to you? You know? And I'm thinking, you know, Evil Horse and Monique. They're like, oh, no, it's Brickstone. But I think their closest beer friends are probably at Hailstorm.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's on your way back to the city.
Yeah. Okay.
So I stopped in Tinley Park. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, because I grew up in the South Burbs. I'm like, man, I've never had a day where like there were two really big bottle releases in this region, all on both on one day. So it's like I wanted to hit Evil Horse, but I'm like, no, we got to go to Hailstorm.
Okay.
So we go there for what was it called? Vlad, the Second Order of the Dragon. Oh, is the name of his beer.
It's complicated even by beer naming standards.
This wasn't the beer that they had at Phobab.
No. So Vlad, you know, everyone's taking that approach where, you know, if it's Pipeworks, it's Abduction Series, right? And 18th Street has Hunter, the series, and they just have these one-offs, right?
Yeah.
So Vlad is their Imperial Stout, and then, so Vlad with Raspberries was the one they had at Phobab.
Right. That kind of rivaled Claire's a little bit.
But, I thought it was great. Yeah. So they had maybe like four versions of Vlad on.
Okay.
And then they had bottles of Vlad Coconut. That was the Order of the Dragon.
Nice.
So the real quick story about Hailstorm, right? Well, first of all, they took gold at JBF for IPA. And they took silver for Maybach, right? And they said the rumor is that had they taken a gold in both IPA and Maybach, that they would have been on very small brew pub of the year. At that point.
Whoa.
Wow.
Which, and that honor went to On Tour over in the brewing district.
Another great brewery.
Goose Island. Yeah. Yeah. On Tour is a fun place. Yeah, I didn't know that about them.
Yeah.
They seem like stand-up guys, man. There was another story about how they brewed a variant of this beer in bourbon barrels from Heaven Hill, and they ran into some issues with the barrel. So it soured out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of like, you know, selling this beer and calling it a sour, they actually dumped like 76 grand of this beer. You know,
Hailstorm did. They are a small brewery to be doing that's exactly. Goose
like that
Island.
That would almost be a killer for the business.
Like if Goose you Island had to dumping
scrap that much product.
A beer they brewed or dumping that much, that's nothing.
It's like no
I'm
good
sure
deal,
they
right?
do that. Probably they don't do that all the time because they're good at it. But
AB InBev.
Yeah.
AB InBev spends that on toilet paper for executives.
They got some deep pockets at AB InBev, man. Yeah, and the reason the story came up is because we've talked about four brothers before.
Yeah.
Four fathers brewing.
Fathers, okay.
Yeah, and apparently they had a beer that kind of soured in a similar way, and they sold it as a barrel-aged coffee sour beer, right? Instead of saying, fuck it, we're dumping it, they just said, well, it's a sour. And then, you know, and people who like their beers bought this beer, and they were, you know, giving them the bird. They're like, fuck you, I can't believe you made me do this.
Yeah. Right?
And, you know, and Pete Crowley always sells at the, you know, your most expensive... The most expensive beer you sell is the one you should have dumped.
Right, that's true, yeah. Right, I think right. I remember him saying that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of commend these guys, because to your point, man, that could bury a small business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, serving something that is supposed to be this, you know, earth-shattering, awesome beer, and then having it just fall flat on its face, that has its own consequences for the future of that brewery. If they do end up releasing something that just turns out to be awful.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a small brewery. I mean, if you're one with the prestige of a Founders or a Goose Island, you can survive something like that. Yeah. But a small upstart where nobody knows about them yet, that might be a killer.
Yeah, that's just very true. Yeah. So we heard all these stories, so then we went. And it was a good time, man. We missed I had the coconut on draft, but we missed the bottle release.
Okay.
So apparently they had two bottles for sale. One was a collab with, it was called Waffle Stout. That was a four-pack collab with Untitled Art, which is like this brewery up in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then the other one was Vlad Coconut. They had 1,200 bottles of each. They sold them all in an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, but they still had everything on tap. And that Vlad Coconut is lights out. Mm. I think that's the best beer I've ever had from them, including the IPA. The IPA was on. That Vlad Coconut is.
You put it in your, I know we talked last week, at top 10 beers of the year or something like that.
Yeah, because they didn't fuck around with the coconut. And apparently they took the, you know, after the beer was done fermenting, they put it back in the fermenter with like actual coconut flesh.
Mm. Oh.
And then, you know, and then crashed it and let it sit on that and then got it out again. And that's nice. Where they're getting that big flavor from. My concern would be like, you know, that's what Goose did the first year at Prop. They used coconut versus coconut water the second year. And the reason they switched is because after it sat in the bottle for a while, the coconut and the coconut oil would kind of separate.
Right,
and it became kind of messy if you sat on those bottles for too long. But yeah, that was a party and a half.
Nice. Place.
Yeah, not to go on a tangent, but yeah, that's where I went.
Oh, that's awesome. So. Some good bottle releases all around.
Yeah.
Well, it's Christmas weekend, so there's really no events happening. We kind of looked it up. There's a few, of course, because there's holiday events, but I don't think we wrote anything down, right, to hit up or check out.
No, we're kind of light this week on events.
And then any news before we wrap up here?
Yeah, we got a little bit of news, man. Brewer's Eve.
Right.
They changed locations. They'll be at Architectural Artifacts this year. Oh, but they released their tap list today.
That looks so great. I saw
it. Yeah, it was fantastic, man. The Encore from Pipeworks is on there. I was excited about that. And it's a streamlined list, man. 10 brewers. And each brewer is going to bring maybe 2, maybe 3 beers.
Right. It seems like they have a staple and a kind of one-off variant. I know I saw Bourbon County Barley Wine on there. Yeah. Yeah, just a handful. I can't remember them off the top of my head. But
I'm excited about Half Acres, the Gatton IPA.
Right.
Fluorescent, which is the one with the scorpion on it.
That's just a great beer. Yeah. Like I'll be drinking it. I'll be at Brewer's Eve, so I'll be drinking it right all night.
That's a good party.
Yeah.
That's a really good party.
And it's at a different location this year. So
yeah, the new look. Have you been all right, what is it? Architectural Artifacts? Have you been there?
I went to a craft show, thing there.
Like arts and crafts?
Yeah, it was like a craft, I don't know. Like it was a Christmas shopping. I forget what it was called, but Beguile was like the beer sponsor, so I was there.
Right on.
Looking at candles and chocolates and pillows. I don't know.
Just doing Brad stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Stuff. Right on, man.
So get your tickets. They're like, what, about a little over 100?
I'd say maybe like 110, something like that.
Are they still on sale?
They're still
on sale. For Brewer's Eve? Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's a good party. That's a really good party. Yeah, I say between that and the Bader Brow party, you're covered for New Year's Eve if you want to get out.
What's the other one?
Bader Brow. They're doing New Year's Eve Exposed, they're calling it. So they're doing like dueling pianos and open bar and body painting.
And they got the space to do. They could do like paintball.
They party pretty
hard. That's
how
they do the body painting. Everybody plays paintball naked.
Ready? Fire. microphone. Up in Elk Grove Village, they're doing a collaboration with Moore Brewing.
Okay.
And, you know, Moore is the crew that took Best in Show at FOBAB this year for their beer. So they're doing a beer called Vanilla Noise. It's an Imperial Oatmeal Rye Stout with 8 times more vanilla than ever before, Brad.
Damn.
Yeah.
That might be too much.
You're talking about that Hailstorm collaboration. I think we'll see a lot of collaborations this coming year. It's not anything new, but I think it's a way for people to just hear about these other breweries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's becoming more of a thing. Just, yeah, let's collaborate with them. Let's do it. We both get the name out there.
Yeah, because I think they all like share best practices. And in Hailstorm's case, they go by, they put in orders, big orders for for barrels. And then other breweries get in on it and they all kind of one guy goes and gets everything. Or even Goose would do that back in the day. Back in the day, Goose would take everyone's beers that were going to the Great American Beer Fest. You drop it all off at Goose. Goose would ship it out for you. You know, there's a collab. Even though we're past all that kumbaya shit, right? Like, like new breweries are going after new breweries for tap panels at bars. But there is some sense of a rising tide, all ships kind of vibe amongst some of these brewers for sure.
Well, I think brewing or working in the brewing industry, I work in construction, and it seems to be a similar dynamic amongst people in the industry in that it's, I'll call it inbred, in that once you're in it, you don't really get out of it. You know, you might go to a competitor or somebody else, or you might move up the food chain to a customer, below to a supplier. But once you're in the industry, you don't leave it unless you're really unhappy and want to try something else.
Sure,
Once you're in it, you leave Goose Island, you're going to go work for Lagunitas or something else like that.
Right, so you don't want to burn bridges kind of idea,
there's a lot of truth in that, for sure. And finally, the Evil Empire, Anheuser-Busch, they got a new program, man.
Who are they? I haven't heard of them before.
The largest brewer on the planet, they have this program through the high end called Elevate. So Elevate is a program that touches on like 3 specific areas, right? They're, first of all 11 breweries that they acquire, they're going to have best consumed by dates on the bottles.
That's good.
And
okay.
Package on dates as well. Okay. Right. So there's no ambiguity
Stones
on
them. Stones in their head.
Yeah. Right. Stone deserves a lot of credit for this because they're naming that whole series Enjoy By.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one of the smartest moves of the last 5 years or so. But they're not going to reveal. What they should do is reveal like all the breweries they bought, on the bottle. But they wouldn't do that.
No,
right? But Born on Dates. They're going to have safety seminars for industry professionals. That's one of the biggest things that changed over at Goose. Is like their safety standards are completely different now.
Okay.
Yeah, and then also they're going to give each one of their brewers a $2 million donation fund that they can use to assist nonprofits in their cities.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Okay. So, like, I mean, they're actually...
Every brewer or like...
Every brewery,
every not brewer.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry.
I was like, every brewer gets $2 million to donate. I'm like, man, they are really getting on that tax credit there.
There's to the point of bankruptcy.
No, so each of the 11 breweries that they purchase will all have a fund that they can tap and help out nonprofits of their choosing in their respective areas.
Goose gives half of that to Virtue.
this is our nonprofit Virtue Cider.
No, what if they like they offer us? Half of it to Virtue, like,
Virtue
or Goose kind of owns Virtue
since Goose bought them.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a I'll think on that. But that's pretty cool.
I mean, you know, for all the shit we talk about AB, that actually sounds like a cool move. So,
and they are doubling down on their war on spirits and ciders, right? They have said in their recent thing, like, it's not a beer, it's not a civil war in the beer community. It's we're against ciders and wines that are eating away. And
what we need to be doing, I think the Wicked Weed guy in that when they got bought, what we need to be doing is worried about these cider guys. They're the armada approaching our shores or some shit he was saying. I'm like, bro, let it go, you know.
But gluten intolerant folks have to be able to drink something. Sorry, beer guys, you're just on the outside looking in on that one.
I have never seen anyone drink so much cider. They're just like, puke. You can only have so much cider, right? It's so sweet and just tart. That's a lot of sugar in you. That's like drinking a gallon of like just apple juice. Like, you can't do it.
Oh my god. See, this is, you talk about Brad as a criticized stuff. This is the Brad I see sometimes. He's like, he's
I retract my previous
statement.
All right. But yeah, man. That's it for news, man.
That's gonna do it. I like the Born on Date.
Yeah, that is cool. That's good. That is very cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Steve, where can people, you on Twitter, on tap? What's the best place for people to find you?
Links? Yes, I would say go to links and you're probably going to find me there.
There you go. How about you, Nick? Where are you at?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosia.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Our Instagram, we didn't even mention it this time. We usually give it a little shout out throughout the show. But check that out. Photos getting posted all the time. And yeah, we'll be back next week. It'll be the day after Christmas. So.
Oh, sweet.
I guess we'll be here. Yeah, let's do it.
Right on.
Celebrate in style. And yeah, that's it. Take care.
Cheers.
Cheers.